living streams of water, clean and cold. Living streams of water wash away my living stream.
Hi, this is Pastor Greg Rubel of Living Streams Community Church in McCordsville, Indiana. We want to thank you for your interest in God's Word and this message. We pray that God puts it into your heart.
Streams of water wash away my home.
Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke 10, and we're going to read verses 21 to 24. Have you ever stopped to consider how much celebrating you do in your life? I mean, we just celebrated our mothers last Sunday. Happy Mother's Day. Moms, miss being here with you. This last Sunday, we were celebrating as a family, Garrett graduating from IUPUI, so that was exciting stuff. We're celebrating Robert's work here with us as an intern. We're celebrating a baby, and we're celebrating 1 year into our Daring Faith Challenge. So there's a lot of reasons to celebrate. Weddings are celebrations. Funerals are called celebrations of life. It won't be long before you're celebrating another birthday for someone in your life, right? I mean, we celebrate a lot, and that's a great thing. But even though we celebrate a lot, sometimes it can be hard to feel like celebrating, you know, because life has its ups and downs, it has its twists and turns, and it can just be difficult to feel like having a party. So this morning I want to give you some reasons to celebrate no matter what is going on in your life. The verses in Luke today, they're part of a celebration that Jesus is taking part in as he is on his way to Jerusalem, where he is going to give up his life as a ransom for many. So the 72 disciples, they just come back from the harvest field and they have this glowing report. And what we're reading here today is Jesus responding to their obedience and what God has done through them. So let's read it. Luke chapter 10, verses 21 to 24. In that same hour, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Then turning to the disciples, he said privately, Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the part that we get to look at, this celebration that Jesus is having with his disciples. And Lord, we pray that your Spirit might stir up in us the fruit of joy as we look at reasons to celebrate no matter what is happening in our lives. And I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the first reason to celebrate no matter what is that the will of God is being accomplished. Verse 21 said, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. So he was overjoyed. He was overwhelmed with joy. And he spontaneously prayed a prayer of thanksgiving that God's work was being done. And the way it was being done, he was praising God for. Not by the wise and the educated, not by the skilled and the trained religious leaders of the day, you know, the ones you might think were prepared to go and do the work of God. No, it was being done by the humble, by the innocent, by the ones who were just nobodies. God was using the nobodies to grow the kingdom. Those 72 that went out, they weren't There weren't any religious leaders among them. Just ordinary people who had heard the words of Jesus and believed. And believed in him and followed him. Did you know that our God likes to celebrate? Did you know that? I mean, when he established his people Israel, he gave them 7 feasts to do every year. 7 celebrations for his people to take part in to commemorate what he'd done in the past, to point them forward to things he was going to do in the future. And I thought, you know, he didn't have to do that. He gave them 7 celebrations. Our God likes to celebrate. He rejoices over his work when it's just beginning. Zechariah 4:10 says he rejoices when the plumb line is in Zerubbabel's hand. Things are just beginning when you put the plumb line in your hand. God rejoices over you with singing. He rejoices over one sinner who repents, who comes to faith in the Lord. And he rejoices over his son. And sometimes when he does that, it comes out. Like at his baptism and up on the mountaintop of transfiguration when God audibly spoke, "This is my son." He was so full of joy, it came out and people heard his voice. Well, the kind of joy that Jesus is experiencing here is described as exuberant ecstasy in the Spirit over the Father. You can't get any happier than Jesus is right here in these verses. It's a Trinitarian party that's going on. I mean, this is the best party that's ever happened. In fact, Dad was telling me before the service, you know, because I just thought this was the coolest thing. He was studying the scriptures this morning. In a commentary, R.C. Sproul said, this is the only time in the Gospels where Jesus rejoiced. Only time. So isn't it amazing that it fell on Celebration Sunday? Not my work. So, Jesus is rejoicing. Can't get any happier. And remember, his face is set toward Jerusalem. Remember what's going on in his life. He's going to go give up his life. He's walking to his death. And here he is rejoicing. The 72 have come back and have this huge kingdom win to talk about. Salvation's going out across the land. So God's will is being done God's way. And ministry work is not the easiest work in the world to do. There's a lot of praying. There's a lot of sowing God's word. There's a lot of loving people. And a lot of times you don't get to see the fruit or the results of all of that work that you do. But sometimes God reveals his will being done. And when he does, it becomes a reason to celebrate. And it doesn't have to be a big thing that you celebrate. We celebrate small wins all the time, because when you realize that God did something, even small things become big. And so when that happens, the Holy Spirit rises up within you and the fruit of joy comes out. You become overjoyed, and sometimes it's out loud, shouting out loud kind of joy. And that's a good thing. We just crossed over 1 year of being in a Daring Faith Challenge. So if you remember last May, about this time, we came together as a church and we believed God to give through us to our church almost $500,000. And that was amazing. And in your bulletin, you can read how we are directing those funds, the GROW goals. They're in there along with prayer requests. You can keep those before you. So the giving's being directed toward those goals. To date, we have given to God more than $150,000 as a church body. And that's over and above what we have been giving normally. And that giving, and our just general fund giving, has also increased. So we started back in May with a first fruits offering, and that was $44,000. Since then, from just about 30 families, over and above giving has been on an average $2,000 a week. That's a reason to celebrate. You should see God's work going on in your life and in your church. Now, this week I took all those Daring Faith cards. I still have them all. And I looked over all of them and I prayed over every single one of them that we would find joy in the sacrificial gifts we're giving to God as worship. That we would find faith to believe that He'll provide for us to be able to give, because I know many of us stretched our faith, that we put down amounts that go beyond our ability to provide. And so I prayed for faith, and that we could be faithful to give what we said we would give. All of those things, I prayed over them, because we just have to keep our eyes on the Lord. Because He is faithful and true, and He will see us through. We're a third of the way through. We got a ways to go yet. So no, I'm praying. I'm praying for all of you, praying for our family, that we would be able to accomplish where He led us last year. That's a reason to shout, don't you think? A reason to celebrate, no matter what. God's work is being done in the most unlikely ways through the most unlikely people. The next reason to celebrate, from verse 22. No matter what, you can celebrate because the knowledge of God is being revealed. Now remember, Jesus is still in the middle of a big party. He's still rejoicing in the Spirit. And what He says here moves us into a doctrine that's difficult for us to understand, wrap our brains around, and so often it's debated. But what we should be doing with it is rejoicing over it. Jesus said the knowledge of God, so the ability to know Him and the Son of God, is a special revelation. Now, God has provided creation to tell everybody in the world who's alive and breathing that He is there and that He is amazing. That's called general revelation. You can read about it in Romans chapter 1, verse 20. I think Psalm 19 also talks about that. When you look at the night sky and the vastness of all those stars, it speaks about God. When you watch a storm roll in, a thunderstorm, and you hear the thunder and feel it echo in your chest, it speaks about God. Ocean waves crashing on the shore, there's just a message there about Him. Rain falling on your roof, the sun painting the morning sky or the evening sky, all of those things. One big message. God is there and He is amazing. But Jesus is talking about something more than that, more than general revelation. This is special revelation. It's the kind of knowledge that He has with His Father and His Father has about Him. The kind of knowledge that's within the Trinity. Jesus says, I've been given authority over all by my Father, over all things, and only God truly knows me, and only I truly know God, along with anyone I choose to reveal Him to. And the Bible teaches us that our God is a sovereign God. He is Yahweh, the Almighty, the Lord of heaven and earth, as Jesus just referred to Him in His prayer. And that means He has authority over all people, over all things, and authority over who will know Him and who won't. And here Jesus tells us He chooses some to know Him and some not to. We don't know why He chooses. We don't know how He chooses. We just know He chooses. And so that brings up all kinds of questions for us when we think about man's free will and how we come to faith in Jesus. I mean, He just made it clear to the 72 when He sent them out that when people reject God, the responsibility for them rejecting is on them. So how is that fair? So the fairness of this truth kind of bothers us that some are chosen, others are not. I mean, how can God hold people accountable for their sins when they've not been chosen for salvation? That's a really good question. One that we really won't have the answer to this side of heaven. But Jesus isn't rejoicing that God is fair. Jesus is rejoicing because God is merciful. I mean, if we wanted fairness from God, no one would get to know Him. And all of us would be lost in our sin and have to pay the penalty for our sins, but that's not who our God is. And so what we want to try to do this morning is set the difficulties aside. This is the only place in Scripture that Jesus is rejoicing, and we want to rejoice that the knowledge of God is being revealed at all. That not everyone's going to be lost, that salvation is available. And He is rejoicing that that knowledge of God is emanating. mean, praise God from whom all blessings flow. We have a merciful God. And he's provided a very costly, expensive way for us to know him. And that way is rejoicing over him right here. So that's a reason to celebrate no matter what. We also know we have a mysterious God. There's no end to knowing him. We'll never fully know him like Jesus does. And the more we get to know God, the more we know there is to know of God. He is able to be the sovereign Lord of heaven and earth and of all people and exact perfect justice to the sons of Adam. He's able to do that. It's not too hard for him to do that. Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. So as much as we desire to understand everything that God does, we're just not going to be able to. Psalm 147 verse 5 says, how great is the Lord. His power is absolute. His understanding is beyond comprehension. But this is not a reason to get frustrated or to get angry or disappointed or discouraged. This is a reason to rejoice. Psalm 95, 1 to 3, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come to him with thanksgiving. Let us sing psalms of praise to him. For the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. Listen, you will never be in danger of making God greater than he is. I mean, you just think of the greatest God you can think of and you're maybe getting an idea. You'll never be in danger of making him greater than he is. The knowledge of God is being revealed. And we know he is a magnificent, merciful, mysterious God. And all of those give us reason to join in with Jesus in this celebration. Last reason to celebrate in your life, no matter what is going on in your life, is the presence of God is experienced. So Jesus' joy kind of continues on into this benediction blessing. He turns privately to his disciples and he says, you are so blessed to hear what you hear and see what you see. The heroes of your faith longed to see it, but they didn't. They longed to hear what you hear, but they didn't get to hear it. You are so blessed. Jesus is hearkening back to the Old Testament and the prophets and the kings back there. You got all the people that said something about the Messiah, prophecy about him, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Micah, Job, David, all of these men God used to speak about his son, and they longed for the day that they would see him and that they would be able to hear him like the disciples are. Now, John is one of Jesus' disciples. And in his first epistle, his first letter to the church, he began it this way. We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. He is the word of life. This one who is life itself was revealed to us, and we have seen him. And now we testify and proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life. He was with the Father, and then he was revealed to us. We proclaim to you what we ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that you may fully share our joy. Now you can hear in those words that John got the message that Jesus told him back there. That he was blessed to be able to hear and see what he had heard and seen. That he was able to experience the presence of God in the flesh. But in that last verse, he says, the reason I'm writing is so you can share in this joy, in our joy. You can share in it. So that means that this hearing and seeing and touching, it doesn't have to happen in the flesh for us to be full of joy in the presence of God. I mean, just like Jesus had a private moment with his closest followers here, don't we turn aside every day, multiple times a day, intentionally, regularly to be in the presence of God? If you don't, you're missing out on a vibrant Christian life. I mean, we turn to the Bible and we open up His Word and we hear God speak to us through His Word. We trust the promises that He gives us and receive His blessing. The knowledge that we have of Him as Savior, it explodes into this dynamic relationship with God that permeates every area of our life. And all of a sudden, we have a Shepherd King with us during everything that we experience. When we are hurting, we know God, experience Him as the God of all comfort who comforts us in all of our troubles. When we are confused, we know Him as our high counselor. When we are sick, He is our healer. When we are discouraged, He is the lifter of our head. When we are alone, He is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. When we are under attack, He is the shield about us. When we are afraid, He is the strong tower that we run into and are safe. When we feel alone, He's there. When we're afraid, He is the one who takes care of us. So as our life unfolds and, you know, the times come when we don't feel like a party, there's a reason to celebrate, because we can experience the presence of God as we live these days in a real relationship with Him, just like the disciples did. On his 39th birthday, poet Christian Wiman was diagnosed with an incurable blood cancer. He wrote frankly about the agonizing effects of his illness and treatments. He said, "I have had bones die and bowels fail, joints lock in my face and arms and legs so that I could not eat, could not walk. I have passed through pain I could never have imagined, pain that seemed to incinerate all my thoughts of God and to leave me sitting there in ashes alone." When the diagnosis came in Wyman's life, he was a rising star in the literary world. He was the editor of a prestigious poetry publication. He had confessed before that his Christian faith had evaporated in the blast of modernism and secularism he was exposed to in college. But the diagnosis that he received began a journey back to his Heavenly Father. And he says it wasn't a particular doctrine that drew him back to the faith, but he had found a friend in the suffering Messiah. He wrote, "I am a Christian because of that moment on the cross when Jesus, who's drinking in the very dregs of human bitterness, cries out, 'My God, why hast thou forsaken me?'" And the point is that God is with us, not beyond us in our suffering. "I am a Christian because I understand that moment of Christ's passion to have meaning in my own life. And what it means is that the absolute, solitary, and singular nature of extreme human pain is an illusion. I'm not suggesting that ministering angels are going to come down and comfort you as you die. I'm suggesting that Christ's suffering shatters the iron walls around individual human suffering. In the face of brutal, isolating pain, we really don't want answers. We want a person. And at such times, there is simply no substitute for the presence of Christ." That's a reason to celebrate. No matter what, in our most difficult moments, in the trials that we'll face, we can experience the presence of the living God in our lives. He didn't miss one of those martyrs. He knew the list, knew their names, knew their families. He was with them. We can celebrate because the presence of God is with us, because Jesus, because He's made it possible for our sins to be forgiven and for the presence of God. There's nothing in the way. Our sins don't come in the way for us to be able to go right into His presence and walk with Him and talk with Him. And so He's opened the way, and we get to experience that. Not everybody gets to experience that. And listen, if that's not your experience, maybe today's a day you should trust Christ with yourself and ask Him for forgiveness for your sins. And He'll come into your life and change you, make you new, forgive you. If you want to do that today, come and talk to me during the cookout, and we'll make it happen. Let's have our worship team come back up. (Clears throat) You know, Jesus mentioned the kings and the prophets there in the last verse, and we find some similarities with them too. Just like they were longing to hear and see the Messiah, we too are longing for the day that what we're believing becomes sight. You know, the day when we'll get to see Jesus' face, it will be the most beautiful face we've ever seen. We'll get to hear His voice. And it will be a voice that will sound so familiar to us. A voice that we were aching to hear, but one that we'll know. And we'll get to touch Him. I expect we'll receive the best hug that we've ever had. And we'll be filled with the warmth of His presence, filled up with joy. So in the meantime, as we long for that day, there's work to do. There's days to suffer through at times. And there's a reason to celebrate. Let's stand and celebrate. Heavenly Father, we rejoice. Rejoice with Jesus that Your work is being done. That the knowledge of God is being revealed and that Your presence is being experienced. Father, help us to cling to some of these things as we go out and do this week that You provided for us. Things You'll have us do, places You'll have us go, people that we'll speak to. Lord, lead us on. We're ready. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.